everybody will just chip in, you know, like Morris
Mizalowski joining us now online. G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm terrific, son. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good indeed. Just don't start singing Do Way Diddy Diddy Dum Diddy. What does that mean, anyway?
Absolutely not. I know my limitations.
What does that mean, Do Way Diddy Diddy?
It means that you have to be in an altered state to be able to enjoy those lyrics, I
would say. That's why it's a very good song for New Year's Eve. Morris, mate, thanks for joining us on December the 27th.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
Yeah, it's good. And you're seated in the comfortable chair?
I am.
Well, that's good, because do you have any uncomfortable chairs that you talk to us?
Not usually, no. I tend to leave them in the other room.
Okay. As you are an expert in the comfortable chair, we've made a little bit of a list for re-gifting. Have you ever re-gifted anything?
Of course not.
Tell the truth, Morris.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And have you ever been caught out?
Not really. I must say, my greatest re-gift is I do a lot of events, a lot of conferences.
Yeah.
I tend to get lots of bottles of wine. And I'm a teetotaler.
Oh.
So I have literally a cupboard full, in fact two cupboards full, of some of the best wine, and really wonderful, thanks for getting them, but I have no purpose for them whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I tend to re-gift those.
But that's re-gifting a bottle of wine, I think is totally allowable, because the use by date should be safe.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you don't, you know, post it with and it gets smashed in transit, that's terrible.
Well, this is true.
But if you re-gift a bottle of wine, generally when someone gives me a bottle of wine, I go, thank you very much.
Oh, and so do I. I'm very thankful.
Yeah, because you know that you are now updating your wine cellar for re-gifting.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're grateful not for the wine, but for the re-gifting opportunity.
So I'd say that was my greatest re-gifting issue.
There could be people, there could be teetotalers in Australia that are just passing the same bottle of wine.
I wouldn't be surprised. I had a beautiful bottle of wine given to me about 2 years ago with a lady who crocheted a wine cover for it.
Oh.
I've still got that in the cupboard because I couldn't give it away. She put so much effort into it and was so thankful.
She crocheted a wine
cover? She crocheted a wine cover.
That's really quite unique.
Quite unique. So that one's still in the cupboard.
But lovely as well. Was it a good bottle of wine, or haven't you seen the label yet?
I haven't seen the label yet.
The nicest bottle of VO Port I've ever seen. Mate, talk to me about the future, my friend. It's always nice to have a chinwag with you on 6PR. Morris, your eye on the future.com.au. And I think now is a good time, actually, to grab you by the throat and squeeze tightly to find out what's happening next year. What can we expect for next year?
Well, I've done my annual top 10 list.
Good.
And like Santa, I've checked it twice.
Yeah, liar.
Well, this is true.
Yeah,
at least once
it's
anyway.
A re-gifting list from last year.
Actually, no, this is a brand new one, although it does have some elements from last year.
There you go.
So, in no particular order, next year, I mean, nobody needs to be told, next year is going to be a little bit tougher than the one we're used to, although the last 6 months or so have given us a good indication of what it might be. For me, I still think Australia's the best place to be. I'm totally convinced of that. I travel the world, I see all of it, and certainly Australia is the place where 2009 will certainly be difficult, but I think we're going to see the start of something a bit better towards the latter half of next year economically. I talk about being the potholes and the bumps being smoothed out. You know, way ahead of America, way ahead of Europe. They've still got 2 or 3 years at least before they see anything reasonable.
What about China? Because we have a lot to do with China.
We absolutely do, and that's a great point, Todd, because we need to start looking east. We have paid too much attention to America, but really it's China, it's India, it's Japan, it's those places that we need to look at. And China, I think, will do relatively well. There'll certainly be a downturn there, but China has its own reasons for continuing to do well. And without getting too technical, they have to maintain at least 8% of their GDP in growth. In other words, they have to grow at least 8% year on year to be able to maintain the economy, to be able to maintain the beast that they've created and to give people the standard of living they promised.
And that's quite sustainable for us as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, because the overflow of that means that Australia will do well. I mean, we certainly do benefit by that. So China has put in a lot of money to make sure that their economy will continue. Again, nothing's going to be like it was. But it will certainly be relatively okay for China, and the backwash for us will be good as well.
Okay, so with regards to I guess the economy here in Western Australia and Australia, a downturn with a possible rise bonus at the end of next year?
I think it will. I think we will start to see it getting better. And what's going to happen is we'll create what I call a new sense of normal about the year after. In other words, we will have forgotten the heydays that we've gone through, and we will have a new sense of normal that will suffice us quite well.
Good. Tell me more.
Now, the other thing that I'm seeing on the horizon is what I'm calling a cautious or a conservative consumer. I think next year, especially with President Obama, although that really doesn't have a lot to do with it, but it's the watershed moment I think we can use to prove the point, we're going to see a far more conservative consumer out there. You and I, as the average shopper, are going to be far more conservative about what we buy and why we buy it. We're going to think twice before we amass debt, and that's a really new thing for many people. Now, before it was, let's give the credit card a good bashing, and we'll worry about it later. I think those days are not gone, but they're certainly not as prevalent as they used to be, and many people are wondering why they ever did it.
Now, mate, is it us turning away from the power of plastic back to the old-fashioned values of let's save up the money for this and then buy it cash, which is... I mean, and there are a lot of people within our community that still run on those philosophies.
They do, and I think there is a great turn towards it. I've got a mate who works in debit cards, you know, where you save your money and you spend what you have, but
sure.
You still use all that, you know, Visa, MasterCard type approach. And they're doing great guns at the moment. They're saying that there's lots of people now that are signing up for the debit card because the notion of having a plastic card that lets you buy stuff without folding cash is still a good one. We just have to be a bit more careful, a bit more savvy about it being our money that we have in a bank account rather than, you know, money we might have one day.
Okay.
So that's certainly changing.
And that's obvious. Now, the other thing that I'm conscious of too is that we as a community, I'm really over the mass commercialisation of things. I'm very conscious that the Christmas decorations have a lot of dust that's gathered on them because we've been after that. Someone has been after that Christmas dollar for such a long time. Are we going to go back to handmade, man-made products?
I think in many ways we're already starting to. I'm calling this the naughty hippies. Because I think in many ways that we are already starting to. Crafts, handmade goods, they're all starting to become more interesting and more popular. But if you look across the internet, there are lots of sites now that are pushing that along. There's a great one called Etsy, etsy.com, etsy.com. And on it, it's like an eBay site almost, but the only thing you can sell on it are handmade goods and crafts.
Yeah.
And have a look at some of the stuff they sell. It's just beautiful. So there's this whole community that's opening up around recycling waste materials, and also a new term that's coming around is called upcycling. So upcycling is taking things of a lesser value. So it might be scraps of leather or scraps of wool or something, and turning them into something more useful, something more profitable.
Sure.
And we're certainly going to see more of that. And on the flip side of that also, when we go through tough times, we tend to see that the entertainment industry, the live arts, music, that sort of thing flourishes. Because they're pockets of fun. They're things that we can afford to do to treat ourselves. And we often want to escape from the day-to-day issues that we have. So I'm also predicting that next year will be a great year for the arts and entertainment, which should be good for you, Todd.
Oh, mate, I'm happy about that. Thank goodness. I was a bit worried myself. But hang on, aren't we going to be entertained by things like the electronic media, you know, webs, blogs, the PDAs, the Googles? Aren't we going to be sort of trapped by that?
I don't know if we're going to be trapped. I always talk about there being a parallel life. There's an online and an offline life. And certainly what you're saying is absolutely right, that we're going to see the increase, you know, the ever increase of online materials, and with people's iPods and all their gadgets and all the, you know, thousands of songs they download, that will still continue. What's going to be interesting down that space is that we're going to see lots of ordinary people, you and I, putting content onto the internet that's available for everybody to use. And we've seen that for the last few years, but next year, moving forward, is going to be an especially big year for that. But going back to your original point, our offline life, our real life, we're certainly going to want to take some of that entertainment we hear from machines, and we're going to want to see it live. We're going to want to experience that. So I think both of them are going to flourish.
What about, is the internet being used at its full value at the moment with regard to the advertising? Because I'm getting a lot more pop-ups. Do you think those sort of advertising techniques will come to the fore?
No, I think they've almost finished.
Good. Well, I'm getting a few on mine.
Yeah, you almost want a brick at the time, don't you? Yeah. So, first of all, you need to get a pop-up blocker, and you can get one of those, and that'll stop the pop-ups. happening.
Good.
So that's the first practical thing you can do until this new era of no more pop-ups comes about, and that might take us a couple of years to get there.
Mm.
But what we're finding now is a lot more savvy internet marketer. They're only positioning themselves to consumers or people that are interested in hearing their message. And they're doing it in a very soft way, like Google does. If you use a Google search, for instance, you often don't feel so obtrusive. It often doesn't feel like you're being sold to, even though there's a lot of advertising around. It's very sensitive to who you are and what you're looking for. And that's what we're going to find online. Businesses are getting far better at targeting their audience and at giving them information about themselves without that gaudy, horrible, over-the-top pop-up and everything that sings and dances.
Thank goodness for that, mate. Listen, Morris, I'm just going to put you on hold for two shakes because I don't want to get right through this list. The top ten is excellent.
Absolutely.
Just relax. Speaking of extra energy, do we need to have extra energy next year? Do we need to work with one another, play nicely with one another?
Absolutely. I mean, that always goes without saying. Santa was here not so long ago, and he said the same thing to us.
Yes.
But we're going to be playing what I call nicely together online. You and I have talked about social networking before. That's Facebook and LinkedIn and all those YouTubes that we're... But they're going to become more and more a part of our everyday life. And what's happening is that business is now beginning to use them to move their message forward as well. So business is now getting involved in having communication, in talking to us online,
yeah,
at Facebook, at LinkedIn, and at Twitter.com, which is a relatively new one, and you'll certainly hear that word a lot in 2009.
Twitter.
Twitter, T-W-I-T-T-E-R.
I've heard someone being called a twit, but not a Twitter.
Yes, I actually thought it was named after me. But anyway, so Twitter.com. And what Twitter.com is a new form of social media. It allows you to, with only 140 characters, so you only have 140 characters that you can put in to tell your message. I call it SMS on steroids. And in that short space, you tell people about what's happening in your day-to-day life, and people that are involved with you get that message, and they can get it online, they can get it as a SMS on their phone, they can get it as an email, they can get it in all sorts of formats, and that's why people love it. It's very immediate. You know, as soon as I finish typing, somebody around the world, or many people around the world, know what I'm doing, and I know what they're doing. It sounds strange, but for instance, the Mumbai thing that we had a couple of, only a month ago, the Mumbai actually came up on Twitter first as an event before anything else in the world. It was the first notification that we had that there was an issue there. And that was because somebody in Mumbai tweeted that she saw something happening, and that's when the conversation grew. So it's actually being used by a community to get messages backwards and forwards. There are a lot of examples of being used in that way, and business is starting to use it that way as well. So it's very powerful. So expect to see more of that. But we were talking about playing nicely. So there are examples of how we as individuals will now communicate and will bypass business, will bypass the press, and talk to each other about what we see over what I call the proverbial virtual garden fence.
We're very media savvy now, aren't we?
Those
Absolutely. Of us that listen to the radio, take in the television, we can see something coming these days, and I think I really think that's quite important, because not only do the general public don't want to be treated distastefully anymore.
No, and they want a voice. I mean, the thing about this technology is it gives everybody a voice, that everybody has the ability to be able to tell what they're seeing, to give their commentary, and other people may not be interested, in which case they won't follow. That's fine.
Mm.
But that's what this internet does. And business, of course, wants to be a part of that.
Brilliant. Anything else that we got? Because we're sort of running out of time, right?
Ooh. Well, one of the interesting ones I know for you, Todd, would be what I'm calling the changing of the corporate boardroom. Next year, we see Gen Zs coming on. And Gen Zs are those born from 1991 onwards. So they're just turning 18 and they're just going into the workforce.
Good luck.
Yeah, well, they're going to try anyway. So we know that they have a particular way of looking at the world. You know, they've never known a world like the one we're currently in. They've only known a world of good times.
Well, what can we learn from them? Because if they're going to take up positions of authority, what can we learn from Gen Z? Perhaps optimism.
I think so. It's their energy and their work ethic, strangely enough, that I think we can learn. And one of the things I'm talking to my business clients a lot about is not just Gen Zs, but Ys as well, is that they are now more project-driven. They're more task-driven. In other words, give them something to do, and they will do it, but not in the conventional way that I might have been brought up to do. Now, they're not really interested in the 9-to-5. They're not really interested in the paperwork or the things that go around it, but they will move heaven and earth to get that task or that project finished in their own way. And once they've done it, they're over it.
Yeah. They don't hang on to stuff for long, do they?
They don't.
And the other thing too I'm conscious of, mate, is that our global village seems to be getting smaller. Ideas seem to be coming from all continents these days. It's very hard to have an original concept.
It is. It certainly is. And again, going back to our Zs and Ys, our Gen Zs and Ys, that they see the world as a very global space. Mm. So, you know, well, you and I just coming to that thought, and it's a bit difficult to understand, but they see the world, always have, in a global sense. You know, I now get my website, my clients' websites, and a lot of the programming I need done through India and China. Now, that may sound, you know, everyone does it, but I'm an individual, but I can have contact into India and China. I work with mates in America as if I'm, you know, talking to you now. So that outsourcing and what's being called insourcing is happening globally, and we're certainly going to see more and more of that as technology allows it to happen for us easily.
When I do get phone calls, though, I must admit, coming into me from on my mobile phone from India, I don't linger longer. I must admit, I do. If someone rings me up and says, are you happy with your phone plan? Do you have 5 minutes? I'm gone.
I don't blame you at all. Yep. So certainly that's not something we like to come out of India.
Yep.
But the Indians are making a living out of it, and they're only doing what we're employing them to do.
Yeah, quite true. Morris, mate, thank you so much for your time. You're just a great bloke. I really enjoy chin-wagging to you. You open my eyes and ears to various aspects of the internet world, which I'm really not up to speed with, but it's good to have you with us, and we'd love you to sort of stick with us through the continuation of the big weekend before the footy season starts. So come back next year, will you?
We'd love to do that. And a terrific 2009 to you and to all your listeners, Todd.
2009 will be fine, Morris.
I'm absolutely positive it will. We will overcome it all.
Good on you, mate. We'll talk to you soon.
Look forward to it.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Morris Michalowski is your Eye on the Future. Joins us regularly.